chosen for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, O God, for you have graced us with your presence. Thank you this morning that your eyes are always on us, that your ears are always open to our prayers, that mercy is ours brand new this morning, that we stand in grace. Oh God, have your way in this place. Refresh us today. Strengthen us. Oh God, open our hearts and minds so that we may receive all that you have for us. We bless and praise you, oh great God and great King. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our first hymn this morning, hymn number 14, Praise to the Lord Almighty. Time for our responsive reading. This morning you'll find our responsive reading on pages 4 and 5 in your bulletin. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
But let a man examine himself, as though he had eaten that bread and drink that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
For this cause many are weak and secretly among you, and many sleep.
For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, all together.
And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come.
Amen. Our second hymn this morning can be found on page 142, There Is a Fountain.
someone told me of your mercy and the love you show on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you rose in time and set my
scripture can be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And our scripture reads as follows: For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. At this time, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we bless and praise you. We thank you for being our God and Savior. We thank you for Jesus, the captain of our salvation. He is living bread for us. He is living water for us, O God, who has quenched our everlasting thirst. Father, we can come boldly before your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help in our time of need through the blood of Jesus. It is through the shed blood of the Savior that we now have access to you, Father. Thank you, O God, for regarding us and loving us so much that again, your eyes are always on us. Your ears are open to our prayers. Our names are engraved in your palms. Our names are on your breastplate. Every cry, every difficulty, all of our celebrations never go unnoticed, God. We're always right here with you. You promised us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So as our brothers and sisters who are sick and shut in, perhaps they're having a difficult time now, oh, God, it's good to know, God, that you're with them no matter what's going on. And we pray for healing this morning. The brothers and sisters who are caregivers, God, to loved ones and friends and those who have lost loved ones and whose hearts are still tender, God, touch them this morning. Strengthen marriages this morning, Father God. I pray, oh God, that husbands will love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives will love and respect their husbands, and those who are single, Father God, that you strengthen them and bless them, Father God, in their responsibilities. Our children, Father God, wherever they are, many of us have been praying for grandchildren and nieces and nephews, parents, uncles, and aunts for many years, praying that they will be saved, that they will make a profession of faith. God, we pray for them today. Yes. Remember our brothers and sisters, Father God, who have fallen away from the faith. They've strayed away, Father God. Remind them this morning that you are married to the backslider. Convict hearts this morning, Father God. Oh, God, we celebrate you this morning. Great and awesome God, who loves us with an unconditional love. We lift up our pastor and Sister Jones this morning, Father God. We ask, God, that you would strengthen them and restore them as they're on a much-needed vacation. All the prayer requests, Father God, in our bulletin, Father God, there are many that have gone unspoken, but I'm so glad today that you're omniscient. You know everything. You know where we are. You know what we're going through, Father God. Meet us, oh God, at the point of our needs this morning. Thank you this morning, God, for food and clothing and shelter. Thank you for taking care of your children, Father God. Thank you, God, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you that you are our well done. We don't have to worry about getting into heaven and being with you for all eternity, for Jesus has done the work for us on the cross. Oh, God, have your way in this place. Speak to us. We will know that we have been spoken to. God, thank you again for the ordinary means of grace, the ways that you communicate your grace to us, Father. Thank you for your priest's word. Thank you for boldness in prayer. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for the sacraments, God.
Thank you.
Many ways, oh God, you communicate your grace to your children, Father. Where would we be without your grace? Where would we be, oh God, if you had not extended mercy to us? Well, Father God, we magnify your name this morning. We thank you for who you are and all you've done. Bless us now, oh God. Remember this nation and those who rule over us, the men and women who defend our shores, God. We thank you, oh God, for being an all-knowing God, for watching over us, even children right now who are absent. We thank you. We love you and we honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, the Messiah, hope of heaven, those he loves.
He comes
above the tent, he will again with us.
He comes. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seals and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, his name is fruit, and the Lamb will die to ransom the slave. And then people will try, every nation.
Again, our scripture can be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 reads as follows. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Pray with me and for me this morning as I speak to you from this subject, the great gospel. The great gospel. Pray with me this morning. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord. And even in our weakness, even in our frailty and our sin, you still receive our love. Have mercy upon us, God. Walk with us through this word, God. Open our minds and our hearts and speak to us, God. Minister to us this word, oh God, and help us to apply it to our lives. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Oh God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous verses, Paul and his ministry partners, Silas and Timothy, informed the new believers of Thessalonica that they gave thanks to God always, always for them, for remembering them in prayers. And they also remembered that their genuine faith was evident by their good works. They labored in serving others because of their unconditional love. Their long suffering, endurance, and steadfastness was inspired by their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told these new converts that he knows that God loves them and had chosen them for salvation. So in the next few verses, Paul shows us how he knew the Thessalonians were God's elect. Number one, the gospel came to them in power, came to them personally. Number two, the gospel was received by them. And number three, the gospel was shared. Amen. So my first heading this morning is the gospel of power. Again, in verse 5, Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only." And the word "for," the first word of that verse, "for," F-O-R, begins Paul's explanation of how he stated with confidence and assurance that the Thessalonians were chosen by God. So he highlights the fact that there is an intimate relationship between the doctrine of election and the necessary proclamation of the gospel. You see, the gospel Paul is referring to in verse 5, it did not come to them as a motivational speech, but it came to them in the power of the Holy Spirit through men of God who were fully convinced of the truth of the message. And so Paul refers to the message he preached as our gospel. Sometimes he called it our gospel because it is a message that originated with God. Excuse me, he called it the gospel of God because this message originated with God, not with Paul. It does not originate with us. It comes from God. It is the gospel of God. And calling it the gospel of God affirms the authority of the message. The awesome God, this word came from him, the creator, the sustainer. This word comes from God. This was not a religious philosophy conceived by men, but it is a message that comes from the living and the true God. And to reject it means to reject the authority of the supreme ruler of the universe. Sadly, we have people who reject the word of God every day. In fact, I remember a client of mine who I was speaking to him, and he had mentioned that his wife passed away. And I asked him, "What church do you go to?" And he said proudly, "Oh, we left the church a long time ago." And I said, "Man, you know, you have no idea what you've done. To leave the church and to reject the church means to reject God. And we have no idea of the significance of that." And so Paul also referred to the gospel as the gospel of Christ, because it is the good news that centers on the person and work of Christ. And we'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9, also 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul refers to the gospel as the gospel of the Lord Jesus, because the good news centers on the glorious truth that God clothes himself in human flesh. You see, to embrace this good news requires us to submit our lives to Jesus as Savior and Lord. There are no side doors to the Savior. There's only one way. You can't sneak in the back door. If God calls sin, sin, then you can't slide around that. The wages of sin is still death. In other books of Scripture, the Apostle Paul calls it the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of the grace of God. But here in verse 5, he refers to it as our gospel because it is committed to their trust and their personal commitment to the message. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul told Timothy to guard the deposit. Paul saw the gospel as a treasure committed to their trust. Paul also wrote in verse 5 that the gospel did not come to them in word only. But obviously it came through words. Now, some people minimize the importance of words and doctrine. when they say our lives should communicate the gospel without words. We've heard said that people say you might be the only Jesus that someone sees. But at the end of verse 5, we see that Paul's life was backed with his words. But words are necessary to communicate the truth of the gospel. Words matter. And I believe real, genuine change comes in people's lives when the gospel is presented in understandable words. The gospel did not come by word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, according to verse 5. The word power comes from the word dunamis. It's the source of our English word dynamite. The word dunamis means might and great force. It's power residing in something. In this case, the spoken word. Dynamite was not invented by Alfred Nobel until 1867. So it's obviously that Paul didn't have this specific picture in mind. Instead, Alfred Nobel took the explosive dynamite name from the Greek. And I think we get the picture here is that the gospel can be like spiritual dynamite. Under certain circumstances, it has a devastating effect. It demolishes worldviews and beliefs and ideas, paving the way for new construction. So God's power in the gospel could shatter a stone heart that's resistant to God and overcomes evil. He did that in our lives. Gospel is demolition and reconstruction or sanctification. God is tearing down and building up at the same time. Some people say that Paul is referring to the miracles that God worked through him and others in Thessalonians. That may be true. God did authenticate the gospel through miracles according to Hebrews chapter 2. But I think what Paul is referring to here are the changes that took place in the hearts of the Thessalonians by the Holy Spirit. When they heard the gospel, their lives were changed. And so it came with much assurance and full conviction, which is a deep inward persuasion of the truth of the gospel. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were fully convinced of the truth of the gospel. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much affliction." That don't sound like somebody who didn't believe. Through trials and suffering and much affliction, they still believed and still preached this gospel. They were convinced. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul's Damascus Road experience. When the Apostle Paul, riding on horses with two other men, and the glory of God shone from heaven, and all the men fell from their horses, but Paul heard the voice, "Saul, Saul," as he was known then, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Then Paul's next words, "Let me know," trembling and afraid, his next words, "Let me know," that he was fully convicted when he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" This is how I know that Paul was fully convinced of the power of the gospel. God used Paul's full conviction of the truth of the gospel to bring the truth powerfully into the hearts of the Thessalonians. Here's my prayer that God will use our full conviction of this word to share the gospel to those who need to hear it. Because oftentimes in church, we get full of doctrine and we learn the difference between orthopraxy and orthodoxy, but we don't share the faith that we got. And we learn about lapsarianism and infralapsarianism and supralapsarianism, but we don't share our faith. And that's good to know the language of the faith, but sometimes we need to be reminded of what the Word of God says. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28.
as Pastor Jones mentioned on Wednesday night, does not begin with go. Rather, it begins with Jesus' word that all authority has been given to me. Now you can go. See, we fail to realize just what we have. We fail to realize the power that we have. That when we share this gospel, man, people will receive Christ as Savior. He didn't leave us here powerless. We do have the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the gospel should encourage us to share this powerful, life-changing message. Knowing that the effect does not depend on us, but on the power of God alone. Please understand today, it does not matter someone's background. Do not be intimidated because they graduated the first of their class. They are no match for the gospel. It does not matter what lifestyle they're in, for the gospel is more powerful than the lifestyle we're caught in. It does not matter how strong you are. It does not matter who you are, for the gospel is more powerful than our resistance to it. Hey, we're here. Somebody shared the gospel with us, and we submit it to the Lord. As he goes on in verse 5, he says, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were men of integrity, and oftentimes their lives were in danger. They didn't put themselves in harm's way to get an ego boost. There was no get rich off the gospel or die trying with these guys. They lived their lives before God to please him, not for personal gain. They were only after God's pleasure. They lived their lives and they served for an audience of one. A second heading this morning is the gospel received in verse 6. It says, and you became imitators of us and the Lord. This is connected to the last line in the previous verse. Last line in the previous verse where I read, as you know what kind of men we were who are among you for your sake. It's one thing to expect people to imitate the preacher, but Paul adds, and the Lord. Because he only expected imitation as he imitated Christ. And we see that throughout the scripture in 1 Corinthians and Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, follow me. I'm following Christ. This shows us that Paul included personal discipleship in his message. They could see his life, and he invited them to learn from his example. And then that verse goes on to say, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that because he suffered, they would suffer too. Just before Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, they were beaten and thrown into prison in Philippi. Paul experienced severe suffering during much of his ministry. So when the Thessalonian believers suffered for their faith, they were in good company. And so through their suffering, they believed and they trusted that God would make a way. They imitated Paul and the Lord himself. The same Holy Spirit who gave power to the words of the gospel also opened their hearts to receive the message, and then gave joy to the hearers. There's no other explanation for their deep joy in much affliction and suffering. And then in verse 7, we find these words, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. This is the only church Paul ever called an example, the church of Thessalonica. Perhaps he thought it gave a pattern to what the church should be in spiritual growth and ministry. They had the work of faith, a labor of love, steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and manifested joy in the midst of tribulation. These are a great source of encouragement and powerful testimony to other believers. That no matter what we're going through, we're going to keep our eyes on God. And lastly, we see that the gospel is shared in verse 8, where he says, "From you, the word of God, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything." So the Thessalonian church had a global reputation. They were an example for all other churches. He says the word of the Lord, for the word of the Lord, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll find in there that we have sinned against the holy God. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that Christ was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The Thessalonians believed it, they lived it, and they shared it. And so from Paul's point of view, it sounded forth like a ringing bell or a trumpet across worlds. The word of God sounded forth. And further along in verse 8, he says, "Your faith toward God has gone out so that we don't have to say anything." There was no need for Paul or his ministry partners to say anything about this radically changed lives, because the change was obvious. Everyone in the region knew that change had occurred in this church and in the region. And so Paul was well aware of the reason for their profound influence and testimony. Those who knew about Thessalonica, they knew that idolatry and immorality was prevalent in the area. And this was a powerful testimony of the power and the grace of God. He had delivered them from a life of idolatry to a life of worship and offered to the true and the living God. It reminds me of us. Look at what the Lord has done in our lives. The Lord had taken a people out of this world, the least, the lost, and the left out, and transformed their lives, all for his glory. There is nothing too hard for God. Look at me. I have been set free. All my sins are washed away. My night turned to day, all because Christ has set me free. It was their testimony. It is our testimony. Our lives were changed, and now, so we are given the responsibility to be a witness, to share it. Their lives were changed, and they took the word of God, and it spread like wildfire. Even under persecution, even under affliction. And then lastly, in verse 10, what is this all about? Men and women risking their lives for the gospel. Punishment and persecution, affliction and pain. What is this all about? Look at verse 10. "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Paul knew that these new converts had received more than they understood. He reminded them that Christ was raised from the dead and he was no longer in the grave, but alive forevermore. They were instructed to wait for the Son from heaven. They had the blessed assurance that the Savior would come again and receive them unto himself. In that last line, Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. That's why men and women risk their lives to share the gospel so that God will save us from the wrath to come. They weren't out there because they were on vacation. They weren't out there because it was a concert. They were not there because they wanted to feel good. They risked their lives to save others from the wrath to come. The scripture declares that we persuade men knowing the terror of God. Men and women will die and go to hell because we won't share the gospel. God has called us to go out and share the word. God's wrath or his eternal judgment is imminent. It is coming. The second coming of Christ, it is the day of the Lord is coming. You can't stop it, and you don't know when it's coming. Those who do not believe in God and those who do not obey the gospel will be punished with eternal damnation. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that we are justified by his blood and saved from wrath through him. We are saved. Hallelujah. We are saved by his blood. His blood has stayed the wrath of God. Glory to God. The Savior has turned away the wrath of God by his shed blood and his broken body. And so we persuade men knowing that Jesus is on his way. The Son of God turned away the wrath of God. The Son of God occupied a real human body with real blood and real pain and real flesh that was shed on the cross. The very substance of the Virgin Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Tell somebody about Jesus. And if it is not a real body, and if it is not real blood, then there is no turning away of the wrath of God. Thus, no salvation. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it brings us into communion with Christ. Participation in the cup and bread is a participation in the blood and the body of this same Jesus. And although it is consumed by the mouth, it is received in the soul. When we eat at the Lord's table, we are making a powerful declaration, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. We proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we eat at the Lord's table, we are proclaiming by faith that Christ is mine. In his broken body. When we eat at the Lord's table, we proclaim by faith that Christ is mine in his shed blood. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the gospel, and that the Savior gave himself on the cross as a substitute for sinners. Thank you, Father, that it does not depend on us, but on your power alone. God, thank you for those who lead the way and we follow them as they follow Christ. Let us be good examples to someone who's watching us, all the time reminding them that we are frail and flawed. Father, anchor us in your joy and in the midst of trials and suffering, and that real change will be noticed in our lives, that the gospel will sound forth from our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the shed blood of the Savior that turns away your wrath and makes us acceptable to a holy God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our preparatory scripture this morning is Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 25. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers once purified, who would have had no more consciousness of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when we came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been made sanctified. By that will we have been made sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. If you have not made a profession of faith to the church, if you have not received Christ as Savior, then we ask that you not participate in this portion of the service. Amen. It's good that you are here. You heard the word of God. But we ask that you do not participate in this portion of the service. If you are a believer and you are part of the body of Christ, perhaps you're part of another church, you're members of another church, and you believe that Christ died for your sins and lived for your righteousness, then you can participate in this part of the service. If you are a member of a church and they have not allowed you to partake in communion, then we ask that you not participate in this part of the service as well. If you are a believer and you are struggling with sin, you may even feel that you're not living right and that you're not worthy of communion. You don't have the right to withhold communion from yourself. If you are struggling with sin, as I always say, join the club, because that's all us. And if you are like all of us, come to the table and eat. Eat and hear your Father say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you again for the means of grace, God, the many ways that you communicate your grace to your people. We thank you, God, for the elements representative of your broken body that was wounded and bruised for us. We thank you, O God, for the shed blood, the blood that cleanses us. We thank you, O Father God, that we are snatched from the fire as a brand, saved, sealed, and sanctified. Thank you, O God, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you pity us. You know our frame. You know our weakness, and you do not keep score. But our sins have been nailed to the cross. And we thank you, O God, for refreshment and restoration. We thank you, God, for being re-energized. We thank you for your word that encourages us, food for our souls that gives us strength along the way. Oh, God, we thank you today for this brief time you've given us, time of communion, the time of fellowship, time to be strengthened together. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. On the same night that Jesus was arrested, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. They ate, now let us eat. As they were eating, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. They drank. Now let us drink. Amen. There's a hymn, a final hymn for us. And that is hymn 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns. If you are able to stand, please stand. As this is our final hymn, and when we're done with this hymn, we will dismiss and God bless you.
Okay. And he says he knows.